The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, the significant challenges to our faith, surrender is at the highest pinnacle. The call to be yielded is the call to be like Jesus. The reason that it's so tricky is one word, and it relates to the show Get Smart. The only way to defeat chaos is to work for the one who runs control. Get it? Next, there are practical formulas within the scriptures. They are foolproof, except when we're the ones who are supposed to be operating in them, and too many of us act like fools. Can't do much about that. As mature as we are, we need help. Just ask our friend Moses, as he needed help too. And finally, the best way to process engaging with God is to follow those who have engaged before us, the successful ones anyway. We examine two great examples to follow. One dude only had rocks, and the other dude only had lamps and horns. That and God on our side is all we need.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can reach out to us by sending an email, david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, here, let me stop you and give you a warning. Normally, you can text us, 214-210-8483. Normally. But for some reason, in the last hour, since I walked back in the studio, my phone has become yet again demon-possessed. T tried to text me, and it says number can't go through. You might be having that happen to you. If you do, you can, of course, call into the station if you want to answer trivia, or you can send me an email, or you can just listen to the show, because after this show, I'm driving to Verizon and going, what? What? But it's okay. You can try and text in if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. It was working this morning, not working so much right now. Try 214-210-8483, but don't get frustrated if you can't get through. It's just technical issues, just the enemy trying to go boo. And we just need to be able to say right back, boo-hoo, stop crying. You can also, by the way, call us here at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. That's the number you call. Terrific T answers the phone, and it's just terrific. It works out great for you. Keep in mind, any topic's open for conversation because it's not professional radio, as we're proving right now that the text doesn't work. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Maybe you have something you want to share. Call us in. Call in. Maybe you have something that you have a question about. Call in. Send us an email. Try the text. Maybe, not just maybe, maybe you have an answer to trivia. Well, you're going to have to call in for sure. And maybe you just want to share something that the Lord's doing. All of that works for us all the way across. We'll just do our best. And if the text doesn't work throughout the show, so be it. We'll get it fixed as soon as we can. Here is the next trivia question on the docket. Here you go. Who said, am I my brother's keeper? Who said, am I my brother's keeper? If you think you know the answer to that, you can call in at 972-445-0770. In the meantime, I do want to remind you about our website. That is the place to give. And you think, well, why give? Well, so I can afford another line so that we can get the text to work? That would be outstanding. Anyhow, our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So you can check that out. That's a great place to give as well. We're just hoping that even if we can't get these technical glitches, just listen. The Lord has a plan, has a purpose. He knows exactly what he's doing. Even when things happen like that, you just look up to the Lord and you go, it's in your hands. We can do nothing else but do our best and lay it before you. Remember, one of our favorite sayings, do your best, pray that it's blessed, let Jesus take care of the rest. Yeah, there you go. All right. All right, we do have somebody who's going to answer to our trivia question, so here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, it's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Good to hear your voice. How are you?
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Outside of the phone thing not working, which doesn't surprise me. So I've decided none of this stuff should surprise me anymore. It just doesn't. You know, it's like, why would it surprise me? You know? All right. Now we need to know who said this. Who said, am I my brother's keeper?
I believe it was Cain.
That is correct. That is 100% correct. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, am I my brother's keeper? Here was the answer. Yes, you are. Excellent job. I really appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you doing that and helping us out.
All right. Thanks. God bless.
All right. God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okie dokie. Good job by Deborah. All right, here we go. All right, getting into our teaching. Get ready. One of my favorite passages. Okay. My favorite passages. Here we go. James chapter 4, verse 7. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I love this, and I'll share that dream because it is kind of a cool dream. James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. For those of you that think only demons attack you, you're wrong, okay? The devil attacks you too. He uses demons, but he is also involved. And so James says, submit yourself therefore to God. The word submit means, get ready, surrender. Isn't that just the hardest thing to hear? Surrender. Oh, my goodness. You want to know why it's so hard to surrender? Is because it means that we're not in charge anymore. So that dream I had, which I shared with you before, and I'll share with you again, it's one of those things that has an impact on your life. So I'm sitting there. It's kind of like a country setting, a kind of a house with a porch and kind of a rocker chair on it. Nothing bad, nothing good, nothing weird, just kind of normal. And my brother was in the chair, and we got together, and we started wrestling, and then I was winning, and I was beating him, and I had his arms pinned to the ground, and I'm like, ha-ha, I'm winning, right? You ever have that going on? I'm winning, right? And then all of a sudden, I have this hand that's behind me pushing my back of my neck and my head to the ground. And I'm like, and the voice is saying, submit. And I'm like, no, no, no. And the hand keeps pushing me further to the ground. Submit, submit. And it's a dream. Remember, so I don't have all the understandings of it, but my brother's not there anymore. All of a sudden, my face is in the dirt. And the hand is behind me. Submit, submit. And I'm not winning. I just wanted to say, I'm losing this battle. And as the hand is saying, submit, submit, I go, fine, fine, I submit, I submit. And then I whip around to see who it is, and there was nobody there. And in the dream, I knew immediately it was the Lord. And the Lord was telling me to submit. And I keep saying, no, 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 I can do this. No, I'm strong enough. I'm powerful enough. It's like this attitude that we have that we can control it and we can run it. And so this idea to submit or to surrender to God is hard, especially if we let the flesh peek in there. So the scripture says, submit yourselves then to God. Where are you supposed to submit? Well, first to God. There's a lot of people going around saying, wife, you must submit to me. I'm your husband. The Bible never says, husbands, tell your wives to submit. It does say, wives, submit to your husband, but it never says, husbands, tell your wives this. Okay, so that's just a kind of a weird application. People are kind of losing their minds and stuff like that. What the scripture does say is that we're supposed to submit to God first and foremost, then to one another. Okay, it does say that. Can't take away Ephesians 5:22 in any capacity. So we're supposed to surrender to God, and then we're supposed to resist the devil. So the opposite of submission is resistance. And so we're supposed to surrender to God, but resist the devil. And to resist means to keep from giving in. So on one hand, we're supposed to be yielded. And on the other hand, we're supposed to be resistant and resilient and fighting. And the only way to get the devil to stop taking ground in our lives is by us resisting him, which we can only do when we're submitted to God. You can't resist the enemy unless you're in submission to God. I can't do it. Unless I'm submitted to God, I cannot resist the enemy because I need God's power in me to say no to him. Get that? Okay. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
A big portion of being guided is asking, prayer, when you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. Open doors, or for that fact, closed doors. We know his word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, so here's what we have figured out from a technological point of view. You can call the 214-210-8483 number, which I don't want you to do, but you can't text it. So for some reason, all of my texts have been ceased. And since we're on an unlimited plan, I find that to be amazing. So I'm sure it's just a simple tech issue. So for the remainder of the show, we're not going to be able to really do tech. So when we do our trivia, you can either send an email or you can call in. That's going to be the only way we're going to be able to do it. Here is our next trivia question. Who said this? Who asked this to God? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who said that? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. Somebody calling in? Is that right? You got somebody on the phone? Yep. Yeah. Okay. All right. And then you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We'll leave that on the table for right now. But nonetheless, everybody should be able to kind of endure through this. And we'll do it together, okay? Okay. All right. I have some funny things that we're going to – well, I think they're funny. Keep in mind, I know that not everybody else thinks they're funny the way that I think they're funny. Do we have somebody saying something about that? We're going to wait. Okay. All right. Al has given a suggestion. Turn off the Wi-Fi, and if that what did he say? If that works, he'll bill me later. That's very nice, Al. It's very nice. Okay. All right, we're going to check it out. But in the meantime, I got some humorous quips, so everybody just sit back, take a deep breath. You ready? Got your buzzer? Remember yesterday's were pretty funny, right? We had some good ones. All right, here we go. All right, I think this is brilliant. Just telling you ahead of time. This was said by Mark Twain. I think this is very funny. Heaven goes by favor. In other words, you get into heaven by favor. If it were by merit, you would stay out and your dog would go in. See, because dogs are nicer than people. All right. All right. Okay. Let's see. This is by another one by Mark Twain. The Lord God didn't create anything without a purpose, but the fly comes pretty close. Fly, not bad. Here's another saying. The worst moment for an atheist is when he's really thankful and doesn't have anybody to thank.
That's a good one right there.
This is by far my favorite one. This is so funny. I am laughing before I tell it. This is in reference to the Bible being relevant. On the other hand, the Bible contains much that is relevant today, like Noah taking 40 days to find a place to park the ark. That's pretty good. Come on. That's good. You guys have to like that stuff. Okie dokie, artichoke. We're just going to go right into our teaching. We covered that. We covered this. Don't forget our website. And we'll try and fix our tech issues down the road. I got a text through. I think Al might be right. I might have just needed to turn something off and on. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go into the teaching, though. Here, I want to go to this next thing. We were talking about surrender, and we were talking about surrendering to the Lord. And then we're talking about resistance in that same process, the resistance to the enemy, but the surrender to the Lord. Let me read you this little text. Tell me what you think about this. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Amalek attacked them. Sorry. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army for us. And tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army. And meanwhile, Moses and Aaron and Hur climbed up to the top of the nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, listen to what it says. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hands, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on, and they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands were steadily held up until sunset, and as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the other army. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua, and I will erase the memory of the Amalekites from under heaven. Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nisi, which means the Lord is my banner. Here's what I want you to get. When Moses was in this process of fighting or helping the fight that Joshua was engaged with, when he had the staff held up, the children of Israel were winning. And when he couldn't keep his hands up and the staff would come down, the children of Israel weren't winning. And you think, well, why is that? Why didn't the Lord just kind of wipe them all out? What happened? What took place? The staff was the inspiration. The staff was the thing that was inspiring. It's important to understand that the children of Israel were dependent. And in that dependency, as the staff was raised and they had their process of faith connecting to the staff, they were victorious. Moses was just a man of God. He loved the Lord. He was diligent. He was good. He was great. He was fantastic in all these ways. But he needed help. And he needed dependence on other people to keep his arms up so the children of Israel could prevail. The reason that I bring this story up into this discussion is because you might be as great as Moses. Boy, I hope you are. And I hope you're as wise and strong and as powerful and as devoted and as committed and want the Lord in all those ways. But even if you are as strong and wise and connected as Moses was, he still needed help from God and from people. As powerful as this guy was, as manifesting miracles as this guy was, he needed help to get to the victory. The formula, you could say, that comes out of this is dependence first and then victory second. They were dependent on the Lord. They were dependent on Moses' arms being up and that staff being lifted. And the Lord told them they needed to do this. And if they did that, they would have victory. First, it's dependence, and then it's victory. The exact same thing we just talked about in James chapter 4, verse 7. First, it's submission to God, and then it's resistance against the enemy, and that's when you can win. This is a pathway to the power of God. Yielding to God, being dependent, recognizing it all comes through him, and people need to support you in this process. And some people think, well, you know, sometimes they listen to the show and that's supportive. That's great. But we're not the only place of support. Your church should be the biggest support that you have in a support system. Your small group within your church should be even a bigger support than the church at large. Because you have to do this Christian stuff together. You cannot do this independently. And for those that are just bullheaded to say, no, I don't have to be a part of a fellowship, I can just do this independently, you're robbing the church from the blessings that you can bring it. And don't for a second think that God doesn't know that. But Dave, the church has hurt me. Me too. I wrote a whole book about it. It was a bummer. I hated it. But that's not God's fault. That's people's fault. There's nothing wrong with God. It's the people of God that are a little messed up. But that doesn't mean you abandon them. You love them because God loves them, and you love what God loves. So my point in bringing that whole story up is for you to understand you are as powerful as you probably are, as wise as you probably are. You need people. You need other believers to help keep your arms up and to keep you in the position where you can prevail. You see what I'm saying? It's so critical for us to understand that we need each other, because the more of us that are united, the greater influence, power, and witness we have. So my call out to you, my cry, my plea, boy, if I was going to write it on a letter to you personally, that love one another thing, Jesus meant that. that would be how I would say it. He really meant that. And that staff, that inspiration, that thing that led people to victory, Moses needed help to do that. Don't you think for a second that people all around don't need help? We all need help. Get that? All right. Okay, I will say that Joy answered the trivia question through the email. So let me say that real fast. Let me do that real quickly. So the trivia question was, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? What do you think the answer to that was? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? That was our good friend Mo, who we were just talking about. See how I did that? See how I made that? Yeah, that was actually just a lucky guess. I'm just pointing that out to you. All right, we're going to take our break and come back. It might be that our system is back online with the text. Good job, Al. I'm not paying you. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Then he says this, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid? Because what fear does is immobilizes a person, stops them from moving forward, and it also eats away at faith. Fear has this way. It's kind of like if you think of faith as, I'll do this now, as a chocolate ice cream that has peanut butter in it. Okay? That's faith. Okay? Fear is like somebody drilling a hole underneath and then taking a little spoon and then pulling some of that faith down, a little scoop by scoop by scoop by scoop. And you don't want your faith reduced, because God requires faith to us to engage with him in. That's his requirement. That's the vehicle by which he has chosen to engage with humanity. You don't think God could have said, it's me, you're going to believe, or I'm going to turn you into a fish. I mean, you don't think God could have done that? But he chose the vehicle of faith because that's what he wanted from those that would come to him. A confidence, an assurance in the goodness of God. So Jesus, the first thing he says, ignore it. Don't be afraid of it. And then he does this one radically crazy, nutsy cuckoo line, just believe. And we use that in movies and in books and in fairy tales and all that stuff. We're not talking about any of that stuff. This is believing, looking at a situation just like Abraham did, just like we talked yesterday, how Abraham looked at the circumstance, didn't deny he was old, didn't deny he was past childbearing, and said, I'm just going to believe God anyway. That attitude of just believe, it's taking a stand in the framework of your faith that says, I'm not moving. Here I am. Call me Bulldog. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. My faith is solid.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where we're having Technology Wednesday. It's so much fun. That's right. You can bet that my conversation with the Lord on the way home in the freeway is going to be an interesting one. I think you can kind of count on that. God, I'd be going, really? Really? That's why I love the Lord. He's so patient with us, isn't he? Here's your next trivia question. I'm not going to tell you what to do or what not to do. It may work. It may not work. I don't know. That's my attitude. I know if you call in, it'll work, but you need to call into the station. Here's the next trivia question. Who said to the Lord, this is a major player in Genesis, who said to the Lord, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Okay. There you go. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. Okay. I am getting backup texts now, so I mean, just never know. Al's idea could have really worked. But again, I'm not paying him. I'm just saying. Also, you can text in, or at least try, 214-210-8483. Who said to God? Boy, you have to have a pretty good relationship with God to say this. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You can't just say that and kind of, you know. 972-445-0770 for the call-in, 214-210-8483 is the text, which you can give it a roll. Hey, you might as well try. We got our history. Let's do the history. Here we go for history. Go ahead.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, there's a couple of good things in history, and there's one really good thing in history, and then there's like some other things in history. That's my nicest way to say that. Today is World Sea Turtle Day. Have you ever seen a really big sea turtle? I mean, just a huge, huge.
I have not.
Oh, Noelle and I were in, we did our honeymoon in Hawaii and did our snorkeling. And there was one of those enormous, enormous turtles. It was so cool. But even though it's a turtle, a little scary. It's big.
I mean, even for a big one, it was scary?
Well, it's big. You know, whenever it's big, you're like, ooh, it's big, right?
I wonder if he's slower.
I don't know. He looked old enough to be the one who wrote that Aesop's Fable. I mean, he looked pretty old to me. It's also International Waterfall Day. I like that. International
Waterfall.
They're
so pretty.
Yeah, they are. And I love waterfalls are just cool. And if you've ever gone like underneath, and I love stuff like that. You ever gone like some places, they'll have like a little restaurant like underneath the waterfall, and you go through the waterfall to the restaurant. Oh, it's just, don't even get me going. It's a fresh veggies day. I'm not going to give that up. I know I need to eat my veggies, and some veggies are really good. I'm just not giving that a huge, huge props like I'm giving this one, National Fudge Day.
Yummy.
Yummy. I love fudge. Fudge is good. Is there a character on Sesame Street that goes, fudge is good? I don't know. There should be. All right. In 1858, and I'm going to make this correction because everybody's wrong, and I just want to point it out. 1858, Abraham Lincoln makes his House Divided speech. That's not Abraham Lincoln's speech. That's the Sermon on the Mount. A house divided cannot stand. Abraham Lincoln was quoting the Sermon on the Mount, but because people don't read the Bible, they just attribute that to Abraham Lincoln. It should be attributed to Jesus. So it's not complex. Jesus said it 1,858 years earlier. The first roller coaster in the United States opened up in Coney Island on this day in 1884. And I thought this was really fascinating. In 1903, both the Ford Motor Company and Pepsi-Cola opened up their businesses. Isn't that weird? I just thought that was kind of strange. I don't know. Maybe it's me. All right, so that's that. That's that. Have we covered? Is there anything we need to cover? I'm just trying to check with you. We did our let's do the website real quickly. Don't forget about our website. That would be a good idea. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncrease Ministry. YouTube, HeMustIncrease Ministry. All right, and then the trivia question once again, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Who said that? Your answer should be in Genesis. Let's just look at a few things. I just want to kind of cover some of this territory in regards to understanding the power of God in our lives and really what it comes down to or what it breaks down to, okay? By the way, Joy got it right in the – she's using email. Good job, Joy. Good job. See, it just proves it works. I want to point out why I'm teaching on this and what the point is. The point is that there's many times in our life where we're doing the Christian walk and we seem to be, what's the expression I want to use? Void. We seem to be operating on empty. I don't know if it's me or it's just Christian life or it's life in society or the fact that the world in and of itself sucks the life out of you and that because sin is in the world, it drains us, which I think is probably more true than not true. And we need to be sustained through that process. And one of the things that the sons of Korah wrote when they were writing their psalms is, you know, your strength, Lord, put your strength inside of me. Give me your strength. Strengthen me with your strength, which is a marvelous, marvelous statement. I think that's in Psalm 87. Is what it is, 86 or 87. And so the idea behind this, it's 87, I'm pretty sure, that the Lord gives us this strength. The problem is we're so full of ourselves, there's no room for the Lord to do stuff like that. And people want to know, well, why do you like talk about the Holy Spirit the way you do? Because, you know, when we got saved, we got the Holy Spirit. You sure did. But you didn't get every ounce of the Holy Spirit, or you certainly didn't make yourself open to everything in the Holy Spirit. And the main reason is exactly this. There's so much of us in us that there's not enough room for God to do all the things that he wants to do in our lives. And the way that you get past that, the way that we overcome that, is that we make more room. We surrender ourselves. We yield in from the flesh. You yield to God. You surrender. You're dependent on one another. You're dependent on the Holy Spirit to guide you. You're dependent on the Word of God to speak to you. You're dependent on the prayer time you spend with God. You're dependent on your service, on your giving, on your worship. And all of these things are a dependency declaration and thereby create more and more internal room for the Lord to expand more and more inside of our lives. And so you'll hear me harp on this, and the reason that I'm doing it, and the reason that I'm being kind of, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but the reason I'm saying it is because there's so much of us going on in Christianity that's where the Holy Spirit's being quenched. It's not just the sin part, but it's the focus part that we and what we think and our everything is the most important thing. One of the elements that I pray in my devotions every day is that I would have God's perspective merge into my perspective, that I might have a better perspective. I pray that every – you think I'm a kid. I have not failed to pray that one day in over 23 years, every single day. I haven't done it my whole Christian life, but I have in the last half of my Christian life. Every day, God – I have a perspective. I know I have a perspective. I have a principle, a concept, a way of seeing things. But your perspective is better. I'll never fully grasp it. But please let me have more of your perspective into my perspective that I might have the right perspective or a better perspective. And this whole premise, this whole teaching, I mean, I'm just kind of going away from the notes and just sharing with you from my heart. This whole thing is to understand that the more we're yielded to God, the more that we surrender, and the more that we let go and truly have the Lord as the king of our lives, the greater power that operates in our lives, the greater victory that's in our lives, the greater peace that's in our lives, the greater mercy and grace we understand that's in our lives, and that life doesn't drain us the same way. And I think for many of us, as we've been Christians for more than a week, it can be draining. And that renewal comes from the Lord. And it's not just his presence, which of course it is, and that's something that we teach pretty fervently, but it's also our surrender, our yieldedness. Now, there's a couple issues that I can't wait to get to heaven because I want to talk to God because I don't get it. But between now and then, I am required to trust him for it. Did you catch that line? There's some things I don't understand. I don't know why we're doing, why is this way? Or what is this? And this whole thing that you go through with God. I get it. And in the Psalms, by the way, there's more lines that say why. There's a ton of lines in the Psalms that go, why, God, why? That's fine to ask God why. But in the meantime, until that revelation is given, we are required to trust him while we're going through it. And that's the let go part. That's the yield part. That's the surrender part. Boy, I know I'm sharing this for me, but there must be some of you that really need this as well, because I'm so far off the notes, it's unbelievable. Here's what I'm trying to communicate. Yielding to God enables the power of God to flow through your life so life does not drain you as much as it does. The less you're in control and the more he's in control, the better your journey is. Yeah, the destination's set, but you better have the right journey because you don't want a rotten one. Who said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? The answer was Abraham, the friend of God. And you have to be a friend of God to be able to talk to God that way, or you could walk funny for quite some time. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Today is Have a Bad Day Day. I don't know. Have a bad day day? Somebody had to take the time to name a day a bad day? I don't know.
I think it's also National Men's Day, so that kind of works.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Play Monopoly Day is also a holiday that some people like. And then World Toilet Day.
Okay.
I'm not even going to... Not even close. Not even going to touch that. For those that want to know, this is the stuff I like. This is what you get when you listen to the show. On this day in 1959, the Edsel was discontinued. That might be interesting. But this is what's fascinating. Rocky and Bullwinkle. Rocky and his friends premiered on this day in 1959. See, that's important.
I hated that cartoon.
Did you really hate
Horrible.
That cartoon?
Okay. Horrible.
I liked it. I always thought, you know, the Russians did it. Do you remember when they were going
Natasha
through?
Yeah, and Boris.
They were going through this whole thing with Donald Trump and that whole thing, and people kept dropping in these memes with it was so funny. I mean, it was some pretty funny stuff. And I will tell you one last thing, and we'll get into the teaching. We'll do trivia in the next segment. I will let you know that my wife and I got into a discussion last night as we were watching television, as we were watching a show, while we're working on stuff together, and I don't have the answer, so I'm going to ask Wonder Julie. And if you call in for a trivia, you might be able to give us the answer. But we're watching a show, and in the show, there's all these people that are skydiving. And then the last guy goes, and I tried to say, well, it looks like he skydived. And then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right, skydived, because that's past tense. And then skydove. And then that didn't sound right. And then skydiven, that doesn't sound right. Skydivid, that doesn't sound right. Skydiv, jump out. I mean, what is the past tense of skydived? It just seems weird. It seems like it's a weird. Do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know. I never would jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
It was one of those things we looked at each other and laughed because we're like, I don't even know the answer to this. My English is so bad. I can't even figure out how to give me the past tense. I mean, sky dove, but it just seems like a weird word. Maybe it's me. That's what happens when they experiment with you when drugs when you're like 1 year old. Try this on him. Try this on him. That was me. All right, let's go into Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Poor Wonder Julie's going, what happened to you? Nothing. It's the same idiotic me.
Hey, I leave you alone for one day, and the wheels come off.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. This has been a classic day. I love the teaching that we're into. I mean, for me, just so you guys can know, it's never me. I'm never just like, oh, I'm teaching you guys, I'm telling you guys. This is like for me too. Okay, I'm just being honest. I just sometimes I hear it and I go, oh man, I really need to do this. It's stuff I need to do. And while we're going through this process, you know, we've had the difficulty with our text. So some of the texts are coming through and some of them are not. Some of them are showing up in one part of my phone, and then I go to click on it and it goes to another part of my phone. But I'm having fun. So that's what counts. I did get a couple of emails for the answer. So good job, Joy, Ann, and Cordelia on your answer through the email. And Eric, that answer, hang on to that answer because that's coming up. Here's the next trivia question. Who said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? Who said that in the Old Testament? Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? Oh, I love it. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can try and text in 214-210-8483. I mean, Aunt Deb sent me a text, but it didn't go through. So it's like, okay. That's how I know things are going on. Who said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? Again, call in 972-445-0770 or text in 214-210-8483. I think in my mind, as I'm trying to follow this correctly, this is what the Lord wants us to hear. I'm doing the best I can to understand that, but I want you to understand something. When teaching takes place, I'm reading some of these books for the PhD, right, for the doctorate. And I'm reading some of these different books, and sometimes I have a harder time because people will say something like, well, our church plans out the messages, you know, a year and a half in advance, and then we do a calendar and rotate and da-da-da-da. And it's like I have no problem with doing that. My only issue is, but what if the Lord wants to do something different in that year and a half? And that's the Lord's intent. That's one of the things that we have the freedom to do on this show that many churches don't have. And that's the freedom to change on the fly or do things differently. And the reason that I bring that up is because in your own life, you might have a very particular plan and might have something planned out for a year and a half. And the Lord is the one saying, yeah, you don't even know what your life is going to be like tomorrow, let alone a year and a half from now. So the reason I say that is so that you and I can fully understand that we'll do the best we can to pursue on, but we're just on this side seeing things dimly. That's all I'm trying to say. All right. Okay, I'm going to skip the word because I want to get into this text. Is there anything else we need to cover? Okay. So last on the trivia question, Eric got it right. Nice job. Eric, he got it right. Not that there was any hints or anything, but that was a good job, buddy. Who said that? I am vile. What can I even say to you? I am vile. Actually, in the King James, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? Who said that? If you think you know, reach out to us. I'll tell you at the end. Joy Ann and Cordelia coming in right there. Okay, let's go into this text right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. This is what Paul said. Even though I have received such wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord, take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in insults and in hardships and in persecutions, than troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You've made me act like a fool. You ought to be writing commendations for me, for I'm not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I'm nothing at all. When I was with you, I certainly gave you proof that I'm an apostle, for I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you. Paul is having this argument with the church at Corinth. And one of the things that he brings up to them is Corinth, by the way, is a lot more like America than you would think. They're very proud, very strong, very educationed, very astute, well thought of. People were envious to go to Corinth. I mean, it was like one of those things that like this country is in many ways. But in doing that, we can become so prideful and arrogant that we become self-evolving or self-dependent. Like one of our biggest things in our country, which many of us like, is freedom. We're a big people on freedom, right? But sometimes that freedom slides into pride, so that freedom goes too far, and it's like, I'm not serving anybody. I'll never serve anybody. Well, you're either serving the devil or you're serving the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And so the bottom line to that is there's a freedom, but there's a limit to that freedom. And Paul, in being strong in the Lord and all these things, is like, I'm sure I got revelation. I see things coming from the Lord. You know, I know all this stuff. I'm helping write Holy Writ. And yet to keep me from becoming proudful and full of pride, I have this messenger from Satan sent to torment me. And then there's a lot of people that have different conjectures on what that messenger is. It was his eye. It was this. It was this. I don't know. The text says a messenger from Satan. That works for me. But the bottom line is he's being tormented, and he's not allowed to become proud through the process. So he comes to the Lord, and he goes, hey, get rid of this. Hey, get rid of this. Hey, get rid of this. And God says, no. This is the thing that you think every time you say something to the Lord, it's like, well, you're going to change this, right? No, he's not. No, it's not going to happen. My grace is all you need. Your power works best in weakness. When you are at the end, I am at the beginning. It's like, good. Right? I mean, when you come to an end to yourself, when I come to an end of myself, and I know I've got nothing left, there's nowhere for me to go, only God can do it. That's right where he wants me. Because that's the place, that's the position, that's the mindset that God expects from his kids. It's not this, I know it's this, well, Dave, I mean, that sounds like, you know, you're just like totally weak. Yeah. Apart from God doing it through me, I'm not doing anything for God. I mean, I'm a sinful man. I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. I'm just like the church. I'm all messed up. The good news is I'm God's mess. The church is a mess, but it's God's mess. And so there's times where the Lord allows us to go through things, and we're like, take it away, take it away, take it away. I don't like it. Take it away. And God's answer is no. Because this is where I want you, because you're just that much more dependent on me, and that's how I want it. I think that's hard sometimes. What's hard is saying, yes, Lord. Oh, no, you said yes, Jesus. And he became your savior. This is that next step. Yes, Lord. Not just savior, but Lord, who's in charge. And Paul goes, oh, I guess I want to be glad about these weaknesses, because then the power of Christ can work through me. I think that is the goal. If you want a real pathway to the power of God, it's a pathway to the end of you and I being in control. It's a pathway of surrender. It's a pathway of dependence. It's a pathway of understanding there's too much of us in it, and we need to carve out some of that flesh and some of us so more of God can be inside it. If you want the pathway to his power and life not being a drain on you, then you need to exit more, and he needs to enter more. That's what we need. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad or anything like that. Don't get the wrong idea. I'm challenging you to be deeper in your Christian walk. I get challenged in that every day. I read scripture and I like, oh, not doing that. Nope, not doing that. Nope, not doing that. And I turn to the Lord and say, help me. And I don't even do that very well. Some things,
Some things I don't really know if I want the help from. Some things I wish God would just let me skip over, but he's not gonna. He's not gonna let me just skip over them. Sometimes acknowledging your weakness before God is what secures your strength. I'm gonna say that line again. Boy, some of you, if you take notes at all, that's a good line. That's something to remember. Actually, I wrote that. Acknowledging the weakness secures the strength in the Lord. There's nothing wrong with coming before the Lord and saying, I submit. I surrender. There's nothing lacking in your womanhood or in your manhood or in your Christian faith for you to do that. In fact, that's what the Lord wants. Because when we're weak, then we're strong. And why is that? Because we're depending on God and not on ourselves. Isn't that the goal? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Right? Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay, let me answer the trivia question. Who said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee?" And the answer is Job. That's when God said, "Who are you to tell me?" Job was like, "Oops, I'm sorry. Sorry, Lord." Right? All right. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I'm going to pray real quickly, and then we'll end it because we're at the end of the show. Pray for my tech. We'll just see what we can do. I'm not going to go one way or another. We'll just do the best we can. Father, we come before you right now, and this is our prayer. More of you and less of us. That's our prayer. More of you in our lives, less of us. Jesus, we love you as Savior. Let us love you as Lord in our lives every day. We pray in your name. Amen and amen. There you go. Pretty simple. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.